Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Ezra Perek Ches, the 8th chapter of the book of Ezra. Ezra has now received this unprecedented permission from Artaxerxes, the king, to go back to the land of Israel, to have legal bearing in terms of bringing back treasures to the land of Israel, to move people to the land of Israel, even post the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and to reinstate Torah authority over the land. So he's really got this epistle, this edict from the king, and he is going forward with this. So now our Perek is putting that into action. So here we go. In the first 14 psukim, we have a list of the Roshei Avoseihem, so the leaders who he's bringing with him. There's a great list of leaders who he brings and how many people are in each group. It specifically counts only males, so we can obviously assume that if we double or perhaps quadruple it to account for wives and kids, that'll give us a closer number to what the real number is of people coming up. So in this list, just a few fascinating things to notice. A lot of them are attributed to their ancestry. So we have people attributed to Itamar, David, Amelech. So we have a number of attributions. We have a few interesting people to notice, by the way, is we find another Daniel, it seems, who is in Pasuk Beis, is described over here. We also find in Pasuk Dalad, Mibnei Pachas Moav. Pachas, it refers to a Pecha, which is a Persian governor. So it sounds like there is a Jewish person who was assuming the role of the Pecha of Moab, which is a very powerful position, who is making Aliyah with Ezra. There's also an interesting family, the Mibnei Shlomit ben Yosifia, which is, as Shlomit actually is seen as a family name, as a masculine family name, even though Shlomit is generally seen as a feminine name. Just a lot of interesting names over here. One interesting thing is, if you actually count up the numbers, there's a shocking point that you realize, is although there are 15 heads of 12 Batei Av, there are only 1,772 males who are coming. If we extend that and we assume that, let's say, that means to say another 2,000 odd women, the counterparts, partners of these, so we bring it up to 4,000, let's say, or just below, and we add in, let's say, even another 2,000 kids, and we get up to even arguably between 65 to 100 to 8,000 people. We're talking about a very, very small amount of people. The first Aliyah under Zerubbabel, that in that wave we talked about 42,000. Now we have, with this incredible edict, which has been issued, allowing people to go to take their monies, the temple's going to be supported, Torah law is going to be reinstituted, and yet we only have 1,772 males getting onto this train. Why so few? The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tesom Beis, famously says, quoting Reish Lakish, and describes the following. He says, quoting the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Im Chaymahi Nibne Alea Tiras Kesev, Im Delesi Notzor Alea Luach Ares, which is that is, if she will be a wall, I will build upon her a silver turret. If she be a door, I will cover with her board of cedar. The Gemara says, Im Asisem Atzmechem Kochoma, if you made yourselves like a wall, Valisem Kulchem Bimei Ezra, and you all went up during the times of Ezra, then Nimshaltim Kekesef, you would be like silver, Shein Rekev Sholet Bodat. Silver never rots, it may tarnish, but it never rots. Achshav Shalisem Kadal Sois, now that you moved up like doors, Nimshaltim Ke'erez, you're like a cedar wood, Sharekev Sholet, by that after time, rot will take over it. What's the imagery of the door versus the wall? Obviously, a wall is something which is firm, which is stronger. A door swings open and shut. So if you're going to be, so to speak, very, wishy-washy, you're going to be like a door, open, shut, you go where it's easiest, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make sure that your return is not going to be final. This relates to the Gemara in Brachos, which says, I am based on the pasuk in Az Yashir, Ad Yavor Hashem, Ad Yavor Amzu Kanisa, that mentions two havaras, two ascents, or passing by. The Gemara says that there should have been the same miracles performed in the times of Ezra on the second Avira, or the second passing or returning to the land of Israel, like they were in the first Exodus, and yet they were not, because Goram Achet, the sin, overcame them. What was the sin? It is clear from this Gemara in Yuma that the sin was that they did not come up en masse. Worthwhile noting, just a fascinating point, is the Gemara towards the end says that one of the things that the nation of Israel is not allowed to do is not allowed to the three Shavuot, the three oaths, is one of them is not to be Olah B'Choma, not to go up on Mass. That obviously seems not to be applicable when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Aliyah to happen, when he wants the rebuilding of Israel to happen. And one of the examples over here is the times of Ezra, just worthwhile thinking about. The Chiddush HaGaros, the Maharsha, explains that if they would have gone up Kachoma, like a wall, then they would not have needed the walls of Jerusalem, which we're about to see that Nehemiah spends so much time building. Why do you need to build walls? Is when you're not strong. If you'd gone up, you would have been that wall, and that's going to account for the next episode in this parak itself. We look to Psukim Tezvov to Chav in this section. Now, first of all, one should notice that the voice has changed to first person. Vo akabtzeim, I gathered them, El Anaharabo, El Ava. He gathers them to the Ava River. That means to say Ezra is speaking. Up till now, it has been a description of the past. Now it's a description of the present. So just notice that voice change. Ezra describes how he brings them to the Ava River. He waits there 3 days and he starts counting. Va'avina ba'am, he scrutinizes the people and he sees that there were no Levium in his contingent. So he sends to Eliezer and Ariel, Shmaya, Elnasan, Yoriv, he sends them a note saying he needs to have Levium, and he also sends to the nearby city, the nearby village, which is a stronghold of Nisinim. This place is Kosifya, and he says he needs to have Nisinim, who are the servants that Yeshua proclaimed at the time of the beginning of Yeshua to be servants to the Levium. He needs Nisinim as well. What is the outcome of this request? He gets, listen to this, a sum total of 28 Levium and 220 Nisinim. That is a very sad, sad response over here. That means to say that when Ezra HaSofer, the leader of the generation who is given unilateral control of the land of Israel via the Persian emperor, asks Levium to come, 28. It's easier to get a minion together in a shul these days of 28 than Ezra was struggling over here to bring to the land of Israel. It's unbelievable to see what a poor response this is. The Gemara in Kedushin, Rashi explains, on Samaches explains, that in fact there were Levium, just many of them were mutilated. Why? Because when they went down to Bavel, when they went down to Babylon, they actually cut off their thumbs. So they should not be able to play the lyre, they would not be able to play music on Admas Nechar. That's what's said in Al Naharas Bavel, in that psalm which describes going to Babylon. And therefore, yes, there may have been Levium, but we do not have sufficient amount of Meshorarim, those who are singers who could perform that. And that's what's going on over here. At this point in time, we now hear that Ezra makes a fast day by the river of Ava. By the way, where is this Ava River? There's a lot of speculation archaeologically as to where this could be, but nobody knows 100% sure. Some think of it as the district called Iva, which is the district related to in Melachim as well. It probably is a canal off the Euphrates, so he's moving southwards towards the land of Israel, but nobody has any specific place that they know. Ava could be the place as well, it could not be the name of the river itself. We look from Psukim Chof Aleph to Chof Gimel, in which we hear about how he declares a fast day for the people. Why? He says that he should have a Derech Yeshara for him and his children and all of for them and their children and everything they own. They want to make sure that it's going to be a safe journey. Why is he concerned about safety? Because he says, "Boshti lishol min ha-melech chayil uprashim." I was too embarrassed after he gave us so much. I couldn't ask him for an armed escort. It was just too much to ask. And because I said, you know, our God is going to strengthen us. So how could I say our God is going to strengthen us, but could we please borrow just a few chariots? So therefore, they make this fast to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they pray and Hashem answers them. By the way, the Gemara learns from here in Eruvin, Daf Samachem Aleph, that it's best not to pray 3 days from coming from the journey. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't daven. What I assume the Gemara is meaning over here is fasting, which weakens a person over here, and this is therefore Ezra waits these 3 days as well. Why is Ezra concerned? Does Ezra have a lack of bitachon? God forbid, no. What this means to say is that, as the Ralbag points out, he has already either himself been antagonized by the Tzorei Yehuda, who live in this area, Or he's read the history and known that the Tzarei Yehuda, the antagonists, are very easy and very excited to take advantages. And they're obviously carrying a lot of money, as you're about to see. Therefore, he requests this. It's also worthwhile knowing that a person also has to avoid situations or be careful situations where Shchia Chezeka, where there is more damage, it's more likely to therefore there to be problems, whether it be natural or human problems. And the Derech, traveling through the wilderness, is one of those. We then hear from Psukim, the Chav Dalet to Lamed Dalet, a collection where Ezra counts up the silver, the gold, the donations, and he appoints 12 people, 12 Kohanim, to be in charge of them. And then it describes how they travel from the river of Ahava on the 12th of the month of Nisan, of the Chodesh Rishon, and they ascend to Jerusalem, and they arrive over there, and they arrive safely. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers their prayers. So what is interesting is, over here, is just first of all, is this organization of these 12 people. It sounds like the Malbim explains that he's setting up captains to be sure to defend the treasures that they're taking with them. He then waits 3 days in Yerushalayim, and on the fourth day they count up all the money to ensure that all the money that left is the money that is arriving, and they bring korbanos. They bring 12 parim and elim, tishim, tishakvasim, shishakvasim. They bring all these korbanos. Some of them are voluntary. Again, it might be a horas, shah, decree of the hour. And then at this point in time, now Ezra presents Dasei HaMelech, the edict of the king, which obviously is important, first of all, to establish him as the leader spiritually and legally. And also, this is important for the neighbors because they now owe tax to Jerusalem, which is why he heralds this very important edict, which is carried with him. Rashua points out that symbolically, we should also notice that this journey that Ezra embarked upon started at the beginning of Nisan. They left the Nahar Ava on the 12th of Nisan and arrived in Yerushalayim, as we saw from last perek, on the 1st of Av. Symbolically speaking, this is an element of Exodus, going through the desert to get to the land of Israel, coming from a different side this time, but arriving at the beginning of Av, which is the month of the destruction of the temple. So it's this symbolic movement from Exodus of Galus to the rebuilding of the temple. And this concludes this. Now we have to see how Ezra will utilize his leadership and change the land of Israel. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.